Welcome to the Apawa Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, visit us on any Sunday or online at opawa.org.nz.
I joined a Christian financial services organization's board about 8 years ago. And at that time, I think I was the youth group, probably the creche. I was the youngest by 8 years. I was probably 20 years the junior of the average. The longest serving person in that board at that time had been there since the 1980s, and a number had been there since the 1990s. They were all guys, and they were all money guys, and I was the first non-money guy I think that had. Now, 8 years later, I'm the second longest serving person. We've had a massive turnover. There are now two women. I'm no longer the youth group. I'm about in the middle. Half of us are not money people. And as a result of that diversity and change and everything we've gone through, we are a better board. We are a much better board, and the organization is better served. A while back, we had a meeting and we were chatting afterwards, and two of the directors basically expressed serious doubts about their contributions in their conversations with me. And I was able to say, well, actually, no, you bring this and you bring that, and I have no idea about that sort of stuff and all of the rest of us, and that's been really helpful, and we're glad that you're on it, on the board. At the same time, I talked about how I had gone through a process of considering in the previous year whether I should continue and whether I still was the right person for what the organization was becoming. And I was told that no, it was not time for me to go, that the value was still there. And I reflected on that conversation because I think it says something about who we are as Kiwis, and in our case, Kiwi Christians, that we don't give people positive feedback nearly enough. We don't build each other up. I'm working with someone at the moment and another bit of work that I'm doing who's forever telling me how much she appreciates what I bring and saying thank you. And it's actually really nice. And I've come to appreciate that probably I'm not that good at that, giving that sort of feedback, and many of us aren't. But it says in the Bible, particularly 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. I think it's something we need to do more of, that we don't do enough. Thought for the week. Thank you.
Father God, we thank you that you chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in your sight. Thank you for the cross of Christ that empowers a freedom from fear and brings reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. So, Father, give us strength during these times of change and uncertainty. Help us to be kind and compassionate, and to model the strength and hope we have because we are your children. Help us to show compassion to those who choose to respond differently or react more strongly to circumstances and events. Strengthen us through your grace and power. For those of us who are anxious, may we find peace in prayer. We lift up to you those who are sick, worried, and uncertain. May they find peace and comfort from spending time with you. We pray for world leaders at this time, that you would give them wisdom as to how to handle this situation. We pray especially for our country's leaders, that they would have wisdom. Lord, it's a time when many are turning to prayer because they don't know what else to do. Help us to be aware of friends, family, and neighbours who may be open to hearing about you. Give us boldness to step out in faith to help them in their search. Lord, we ask that you would give wisdom to all in leadership in this church as we seek to serve you in our community. Thank you for the gifts of money that have been given. Give wisdom as to how to use it to further your kingdom. We pray all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Hi, everybody, and good morning. This is my first Zoom meeting, but it's nice to see you all this morning. And I think Rod's getting quite good at this, but this is my first attempt. So here we go. Today's sermon's on Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and it's called Great Privileges. Years ago, I was out shopping with my three preschool children. We didn't have a lot of money, and I was just buying a few necessities. At the supermarket, they were having a random competition where people were allowed to have two attempts to throw a ball into a basket to win groceries. It was quite a long way to throw the ball, and I only glanced at the line of people because I noticed straight away that most people were missing the basket. But my four-year-old daughter wanted to know what was happening. I explained it to her, and she was keen to have a go. She thought it looked easy and wasn't put off by others who couldn't do it. I have to admit that I thought it was a waste of time. But I let her join the queue while I looked after the boys in the pushchair. And yes, they did let her stand a bit closer to the basket than the adults when it was her turn to throw the ball. She was very confident and she didn't miss. Both balls went into the basket, and our bread and milk were free that day. Some things are free because we do something to deserve the free gift. Not many free gifts are completely undeserved. But in today's passage, we read of a totally undeserved free gift from God. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And you he made alive, when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There are four main parts to chapter 2 of Ephesians. But don't worry, we're only looking at the first half of it today. Verses 1 to 3 and verses 11 to 12 tell of the gloomy condition of the people Paul was writing to. Paul reminds them that they were without Christ and without hope. Verses 4 to 9 and verse 13 tell of the glorious change in their condition. When they recognized who Jesus was and experienced a relationship with him, they experienced the love and mercy and kindness of God. Verse 10 tells us that we were created for the specific purpose of doing good works. Verses 14 to 22 tell of the great privileges that converted Jews and Gentiles received from Christ. Paul says the riches of God are immeasurable. We are reconciled to God and our fellow citizens in the household of God. The whole contrast of this passage is between the misery of those who don't repent and the happy condition of those who do repent and decide to follow Christ. The Bible makes it clear that we're all sinners by nature, and we all have a tendency to selfishness. We want to believe that we're all basically good, and that a small minority are evil, but that's not what the Bible teaches. All of us have done wrong things and deserve the punishment of God, but divine grace intercedes. When God's grace comes into our lives, there's a glorious change for the better. It's all because of God. There's no room to boast that it's because of something we have done to deserve this immense favour from God. Verse 8 tells us clearly that it's not our own doing. It is the gift of God. Thankfully, we're saved by grace alone and not by being able to keep the law. Otherwise, none of us would receive God's favour. Salvation is the free gift of God to anyone who receives it. In fact, God does allow us to boast, but only about one thing. It's in Jeremiah 9:24. Let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. When God raised Jesus from the dead, it was to show that he will raise up all believers. This passage in Ephesians assures us that we will eventually sit in the heavenly places in his presence. It's our great hope for an eternal future. But while we're here on earth, we have a purpose to fulfill. Verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created to do good works. So let's look at the verses in a bit more detail. Firstly, gloomy condition. In verse 1, the idea behind the word trespass is that we've crossed a line challenging God's boundaries. It's a sign of rebellion, like when we ignore a no trespassing sign on a gate and jump over the fence anyway. Or like the man a couple of weeks ago at Bondi Beach in lockdown. He ignored the fenced off area with a huge sign, no swimming, and was promptly arrested when he emerged from his invigorating swim. He was probably dobbed in by those who would have dearly loved a swim but chose to obey the sign. The word sin in this same verse means that we've missed the mark and fallen short of God's standards, like an arrow missing its target and falling to the ground. The standard God demands is perfection, so no one is ever able to achieve it of their own doing. In that sense, we're all failures. It's a pretty gloomy state of affairs. But the passage goes on to verse 2, which says that we once walked this way as rebels and failures. It's in the past tense. So the implication is that we now don't walk this way. We've been made alive through our faith in Jesus. We were dead, but now we have life. Paul reminds us what we've been delivered from, as well as what we now have in our relationship of reconciliation. Secondly, there's a glorious change. Verse 4, but God. But is said to be the three-letter word that changes everything. It certainly changes everything for us. But God is rich in mercy. But God in his great love. Notice that God doesn't love us because we are so lovable. He loves us even though we're sinful and undeserving. Romans 5:8 reminds us that God didn't wait until we were good enough to be worth dying for. He died for us while we were actively sinful. Every reason for God's mercy and love originates with God. Therefore, we must stop trying and striving to make ourselves more lovable to God and simply receive his love while recognizing that we are totally unworthy of it. That's grace. God's salvation plan is for our individual reconciliation to Him. He offers the gift to us all, but we have to accept it individually. It can't be anything that we do ourselves to earn it or be able to boast about it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be freely and equally available to everyone. Walter Elwell, a well-known Bible commentator, says of this passage, "We were made to function best and to be happiest when we live according to the way in which God originally created us to live. Such a lifestyle implies, above all, a complete dependence on God." At the heart of God redeeming His people is a return to the relationship between God and His created people. It's a glorious change in our situation. It's all embraced in a framework of love. Thirdly, there's good works. Verse 10 says, "We are His workmanship, created by Him to do good works." Works have nothing to do with receiving salvation, but good works are the result of our salvation. God has prepared a style of life for us where we all have a job to do. We're saved through faith alone, yes, but faith should always result in visible good works. James 2:17 tells us, "Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." In essence, James tells us that our good works demonstrate the existence of a genuine faith. He says our faith is dead, useless, if it doesn't radically transform our life and show itself in our lifestyle. Jesus Himself in John says that we are His true disciples if we love Him and obey Him. We're God's workmanship, created to do good works. And finally, there's great privileges. I hope you've noticed they all start with the letter G. This whole section of Ephesians is about building the church. Through the grace and mercy of God, we're united by our faith. We then enjoy great privileges. We have a place of belonging with our fellow believers. We each have a role to play. Our roles are different, but together they contribute to the building up of the church. It's a privilege to belong to God's kingdom here on earth and enjoy fellowship with our Christian brothers and sisters, even though at the moment we can only see them on a computer screen. The lives of these Ephesian believers, reading Paul's letter so long ago, were radically changed from their gloomy condition when they committed themselves to follow Jesus. There was a glorious change in their lives when they experienced the grace and mercy of God. They went about doing good works because of their gratitude to God for what He had done in their lives and following the example of Jesus, and the great privileges they received as children of God are ours as well if we choose to follow Him. Have you found your purpose in life? Have you come to the realization that God chose you for a specific purpose? You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Therefore, when we do those good works, there's a triple blessing. God blesses us for our obedience. God blesses those who benefit from our good works. And most importantly of all, God's name is glorified. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your gracious gift to us, the gift of salvation. May it result in our gratitude to you and good works that we do in your name to glorify you. Amen. And the benediction, may the light of God surround you. May the love of God enfold you. May the power of God protect you. And may the presence of God watch over you. Amen.